My name is Matthew Wayne Selznick, and this is Sonatotum, episode 100. Hello, my friends. On this and every episode of Sonatotum, we talk about making stuff, mostly writing, finding success as we each define it for ourselves, and staying healthy and sane in the process. This is episode 100 of Sonatotum. If you are listening the day this comes out on May 1st, 2024, that's 6 years plus one day to the day since that very first episode of Sonatotum came out. Wow. You know, I wasn't going to make a big deal out of it. I was going to maybe reserve any kind of milestone recognition for an episode in October, close to when I hit my 20th anniversary as a podcaster. But then, last night, I re-listened to the first two episodes of Sonatotum from back there in 2018. And I'm glad I did, because it made me realize that it's worth reflecting on. It's worth sort of comparing between then and now. And, you know, I've been focusing the show on the conversations I've been having with other authors, writers, poets, playwrights, putting the spotlight on them. And that's kind of flipped from what the original sort of purpose of the show was, which was me mostly just talking to you, sharing with as much transparency and vulnerability my own discoveries and thoughts and plans and successes and failures in building my own creative writing life, with the occasional interview perhaps mixed in here and there. And I kind of got away from that for a few different reasons, but it's a good time to maybe check in. By the way, doing this as a car cast, sitting in my car, I have to get this recorded, and I really only have time sort of in the cracks between everything else that's going on in my life right now. So we're doing a car cast. I'm going to probably be doing this in pieces, as I'll be interrupted and have to step away from the mic. And by mic, I mean my phone. But I think it's more important to get this down, to get this episode 100 recorded and out there to you on the day that I say it's going to be. I think it's more important to do that than have, you know, the most perfect studio quality sound, or as close to that as I might come if I was recording in the lush and lavish studios of MWS Media in Huntington Beach, California. It is Monday evening, April 29th, 7:33 p.m. as I record this for you. So just a couple of days before you should get this in your feeds. So 6 years ago, I came back to podcasting after a two-year absence, a very crazy, busy 2 years, full of relationship drama and upheaval and illness with my immediate family, specifically my mother. And I came back to podcasting very much feeling as if I hit a reset button in my life, in my relationships, in my social endeavors, and creatively. I really felt like I was starting from zero. And you can go back. You can go back and listen to the first episode, which sort of sets the tone for the show, and the second episode, which goes into pretty good detail on kind of what my state was, the state of me in very early May of 2018. you can go back and listen. I talk a lot about my routines and what I was doing to maintain my health and my mental health and to build a creative practice. I talk a lot about concerns about money and how I, you know, was segmenting my day between creativity and professional stuff and sort of downtime, and how I was filling the gaps in my my income by driving deliveries for the various food delivery services, and how I was dealing with my ailing mom, driving 2 hours both ways to spend the day with her once a week, sometimes more often. And boy, I remember that time. I remember it very well. And, you know, hindsight is 2020 and the grass is always greener and all that bullshit. But I'll tell you something I can hear in my voice when I listen to those two episodes is a sort of calm resolve and a sort of contentment and a lot of stress for sure and some fear. But I think, and I remember, honestly, I remember feeling like I was in a place where I had made some decisions and I had some sense of agency, maybe a false sense of agency, but I sort of kind of felt like I was on the right path. Not that it was going to be a smooth path or a straight one, but that I was on that path. By about 8 months later, I had very deliberately changed everything. I moved out of my apartment, moved in with my girlfriend. So many things were different. I completely disrupted my routines and my rituals and my practices. And I believed I had good reasons. There were good reasons. What I didn't anticipate was that I would never really get any of those things back. And it's been 6 years. And as I sit here recording this, I have concerns about money. I have a level of anxiety that I haven't had since, well, almost literally since the turn of the century, when I went to the doctor because I felt this sort of pressure and mass below my sternum, and I wasn't sure what it was. And the doctor basically said, well, look, you've got a pre-ulcerous condition, so you either need to cut out stress in your life or you need to really cut back on the caffeine. I made some pretty dramatic changes back then. I've got that again. I've got that feeling under my sternum. And these days, I mean, the causes are very different. In fact, most recently, the cause would be that coming up on the age of 57, I have to acknowledge that I have hypertension, high blood pressure. I had an idea that this was the case. I mean, blood tests and heart tests and all that stuff. The doctor was 4 months ago was telling me, hey, listen, we should get you on blood pressure medication. We should lower this blood pressure. You have a 7% chance of having a heart attack or a stroke within the next 10 years. And I said back in November or December, give me 3 months and let me see if I can bring it down with lifestyle changes. And that was a complete bust, my friends. That was December, which was the holiday season, and my partner's family visiting and all of the sort of, I mean, even under the best of circumstances, all of the disruption that involves. And then January, I lost a longtime client. And then February, a longtime client of mine seriously scaled back on what they were spending because their own business was contracting. And then in March, another retainer client, another regular client, decided to stop podcasting. So I lost that. So my revenue in the course of the 3 months where I was supposed to, like, you know, lower my anxiety and eat better and get more sleep and get more exercise and meditate more, blah, blah, blah. I lost like a third of my income in that time. And there were a lot of other sort of interpersonal and just personal life disruptions and pressures that came up, and some things that have been ongoing. Yeah, I did not lower that blood pressure. So here I am 6 years later, and let's just compare. Let's just compare. I have money issues. I am driving for the delivery services. Well, just one of them. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now. I'm sitting here recording this in between waiting to see if I get any deliveries. And I don't have my mother's health issues to worry about anymore. She passed away in August of 2019. But I've got my own health issues. I've got my partner's health issues. There's a lot of slack that I'm picking up. That's not going to last forever. She's on the mend. But, you know, I think I've talked about it on the show before. It's a lot of pressure. And I had a better creative practice 6 years ago than I do now. Now, that's not to discount the fact that in those 6 years, between then and now, I wrote and published a novel, Light of the Outsider. I wrote a novelette, The Perfumed Air at Kawanantag Bay, that's a follow-up to Light of the Outsider. I wrote a nonfiction small book called Indie Author Marketing Infrastructure. I wrote tens of thousands of words, about 60,000 words, on my ongoing serial fiction project, Hazy Days and Cloudy Nights, How It All Got Started. And just most recently, I wrote and released another novelette, Reggie versus Kaiju Storm Dragon Squid Bat. Oh, and, you know, 100 episodes of this podcast. I've produced some things, right? I've shipped some things. But, you know, there's always a but, right? I, of course, am not where I think I should be. And there's reasonably, optimistically, maybe 20 years left. Now, if you're younger, if you're in your 20s or 30s or even 40s, I don't know if you can quite understand the very real fact that one could look at where one is in one's life and legitimately say, all right, I've got 20 years tops left to go. 30 if I'm extremely lucky. But hopefully, optimistically, 20 productive years of creativity left. And I'll be honest, you know, I have been much more successful bringing my clients' works to fruition than my own. I was going to try to do a rundown of all of the client books and websites and other projects that I've helped create in the last 6 years. And maybe I'll do that and put it in the show notes. All the books that now exist, thanks to my help. I can tell you this, there's many more by them than there are from me. Now, sure, that's the way it's going to be if that's your job, right? Helping other people bring their creative endeavors to fruition, to market, and to an audience. That's my day job. That's how I make the vast majority of my revenue every month. But that means that there's not enough time to put that kind of effort into my stuff. It's the same old song that if you've been a long-time listener or a long-time member of the community, you're familiar with. And, you know, I listened to those two episodes last night, first and second episode of Sonitotum. And it was sobering. I mean, you can't go back. There's no point in what-ifing or I shoulda or why did I about things that have already happened. I made the choices that I made, and here is where I am. What I am not quite sure about is how to proceed. I've been meaning to do something very fundamental and very basic that I haven't, I don't think, ever done, and that is simply make a freeform, non-self-judgmental list of everything that I want to do. And I'm not talking about a bucket list. This isn't like, I want to visit the Eiffel Tower or, you know, climb Mount Everest or whatever. It's not a bucket list. It's what do I want to do? What is important? What makes me excited? What are the things that will fulfill me? I haven't made one of those lists, maybe ever, certainly not in a very long time. And I can sort of mentally think about what's on them, what would be on that list. But I think maybe there's value in actually writing it down and then kind of Eisenhower diagramming it out. But once I have that in place, not that it would be a hard and fast sort of thing, then maybe it would be easier to focus on the strategies to achieve those things. I don't know. I'm not very good at that. You see, that's the secret. That's the thing. I did a thing called the Big Plan several years ago. Big blog post and podcast episode about the Big Plan. What I was going to write, how long it was going to take, what kind of schedule I would have to keep to achieve all that. And it almost immediately went to shit because I don't have complete agency in my life, as most of us do not. I could make a big plan. I could make a big list, but I don't know how to execute it when I don't have complete or even much control over my everyday life. I have come to the portion of the show where I've talked myself into a little bit of coyness, a little bit of bashfulness, because it's difficult to admit these things. This is the paradox. I am straight up a legitimate authority in my field of independent publishing, of podcasting, of fiction writing, of book production. Independent creative endeavors, I'm the guy. People trust me. People get results from me. People pay me. The paradox is that doesn't mean automatically that I myself am going to be a success. And that's difficult. I don't know if it's difficult to admit or difficult to accept or difficult to share or realize or what, but it is difficult. And, you know, I mentioned not having complete agency, and of course, no one does. You know, my everyday, day-to-day life is largely dictated by what other people need. And it has been for at least 6 years, but not quite so minute by minute. And again, this is just how it is right now. I'm not complaining. I am trying to figure out how to make it all work. So one of the other things, finally, at long last, the very same day this episode comes out, that afternoon, I'm going to be having a first appointment with a therapist. It's been a long time since I've been in therapy. If this rambling 25 minutes or so is any indication, I seriously need it. And that will undoubtedly help, but even therapy, while it might provide clarity, the therapist can't force anybody to do anything, and neither can I, including myself, but especially the people outside of my direct control, right? And that's everybody. Everybody is outside of my direct control. I don't know, my friends. Six years on, I haven't done nothing, but still, once again, I am deeply dissatisfied with the state of my life, and that is largely because of my own choices, going back decades. And, you know, the original purpose of this show was to share these things with you so that they could be teaching moments. You know, during the interview episodes of Sonatotum, one of the last things I ask my guests is if you could distill everything you've learned over the course of your creative writing life down to a pithy, impossibly concise statement or phrase that could maybe fit on a bumper sticker or a coffee mug, what would it be? And I've heard some good ones. You can go back and listen. And when I think of how I would answer that question today, right now, during episode 100, 6 years and a day after episode one of this show, a lifetime. I mean, there are children in my extended family that didn't exist, little lives that didn't exist when I did that first episode. And people that we've lost. Many people. 6 years. Just that portion. What would I say? You know, I want to say something like, stay the course. And maybe that's it. Because that's what I did not do. I had a course set. I had a routine. I had a system. I had a shape and a structure to my day. And I was regimented, and that seemed to be working for me. There was a lot of stress, to be sure. There was anxiety and uncertainty. But I felt like myself. And it's very difficult for me to feel like myself these days. Probably because I'm so busy worrying about external things or other people. So I think, yeah, maybe it is just that. Stay the course. And you'll be able to stay the course if you recognize this other thing that is oh so true, but really difficult to keep front of mind on the day to day. And that is that the things that are affecting you now, the especially external things that are causing you so much anxiety and fear and worry and grief right now, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years from now, you're barely going to remember it. I can almost guarantee that. For nearly every single thing that's freaking you out right now, it's not going to matter. It's not. Try to remember to settle down. Try, especially if you are not in your mid to late 50s, good God, like I'm about to be. You've got a long road, barring illness and accident. You've got a long long life, and many opportunities, and many choices to be made, many forks in the road to choose from. Not all of them are going to be correct. Some of them are going to be switchbacks and circular roundabouts. Pardon me, I had to deliver some wings and some coke to a nice young man, which is what I do now. I literally make up that one third of my revenue by spending 5 hours in my car 4 to 6 to 7 nights a week. That, my friends, is unsustainable. But as I was saying, you know, in 3 years, maybe, when I'm just a few years short of turning 60, one way or another, it won't matter, right? Either I'll have much bigger things to worry about, or life will have calmed down. I heard a quote today, an artist unable to create is a menace to society. I'll get the exact quote and the attribution. I'll put them in the show notes over there for episode 100 at mattselznick.com. But I feel that. What that means, right, is if you don't have the, here's that word again, agency, if you don't have the opportunity, the resources, the time, the money, the energy, the health, to do the thing that you are made to do, the thing that is in your veins, in your genes, in your marrow, the thing that you are compelled to do, to share this creative experience, this interpretation of the human experience with the rest of the world, the rest of humanity. If you're not allowed to exercise what I've called before on the show, what I've called that noble delusion that what you have to offer is not just unique and singular, but uniquely, singularly valuable, then I'll speak for myself, but you can let me know if you feel the same way. You start to lose it a little. You start to feel, as I mentioned before, less than. The thing that I have noticed, not just in these last 6 years, but honestly, throughout my life, is that it is not just easy to allow life to sap that creative energy, to allow circumstance to detour you away from that necessity of creativity. It's not just easy for life to do that. It's an insidious kind of temptation. It can be easier in a way. It can be less challenging in a way to deal with the slings and arrows of everyday life, right? Than it is to actually put your vision on the line and be actively creative. But I gotta say, you know, look, this has been a rough 6 years. And I've had rough years. But this has been a challenge. But that's gonna happen, right? There's gonna be challenges. But this is all we get. And if I'm wrong about that, great. But how are you going to hedge your bets? This is it. And I don't know what that means insofar as what I'm going to do about it. but 100 episodes in, I don't feel like I've done nothing, but there needs to be more. There always needs to be more. And I've been saying that for years, and you've been hearing me say it for years. Right now, I literally don't have the means to affect the kind of change that would make those opportunities easier to pursue. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to stop trying. I can't. You couldn't, right? I am going to make that list. All the things mostly related to creativity and creative legacy that I want to accomplish. And take it from there. I think maybe it might do us all some good if I had more episodes like this in between the conversation episodes. You know, I was doing that for a while, but invariably the conversation episodes, the interview episodes, they simply got more downloads, more listens. And that's natural because the people that I'm interviewing are bringing their people to come listen too, right? I want you to let me know. Do you want more of these bare metal, perhaps cringeworthy level of transparency and vulnerability? Do you want more episodes like this? You can either leave a comment right at the end of the show notes for this episode, episode 100 of Sonatotum, over there at mattselznick.com, and let me know how you feel. Or you can send me an email, matt@mattselznick.com. And by the way, that's mattselznick.com, matt@mattselznick.com. Leave a comment, send an email, give me your feedback on this 100th episode. Let me know if you want me to continue this level of vulnerability and transparency. I wouldn't do it in the same episodes as the interviews, because honestly, I don't want to take away from the conversations that I have with those other authors. But if you want to hear this maybe once a month, maybe every other episode, that would end up being about once a month after all, let me know. I would like at this moment to thank my patron member multiversalists, the folks who are contributing about $5 a month or more to support the show, to support my creative endeavors, to help offset the costs that go into creating this show and chip away at all the other stuff. I'm going to do this by memory. God help me if I forget anybody. JC Hutchins, Zoe Lay, Ted Leyenhart, Jim Lewinson, and Amelia Bowen. Oh man, I hope that's everybody. Oh, doing it by memory because I'm sitting here in my car. Forgive me if I missed somebody. If you would like to become a member patron and get access to uncut, unedited editions of every episode of the podcast, get access to over 400,000 words of fiction and nonfiction that you can read right there on my website. That's what you get, for starters, as a bronze multiversalist member. $5 a month, or if you pay annually, about $4.17 a month is what it works out to. It's a great deal. You can also subscribe at the silver or gold level. There are other perks and benefits, including downloads of everything I release commercially and other stuff. Or you can simply join at the free level and just become part of the general multiversalists community. You'll be on the mailing list. You'll get access to my 80,000 words and counting ongoing serial fiction project, Hazy Days and Cloudy Nights, which you can read there at mattselznick.com. You will get weekly updates on what's going on with the community and with my creative endeavors. If you like this episode, then you'll want to be part of that. MattSelznick.com/be a patron. That's where you can find out about all the benefits of joining this community. Once again, if you'd like to comment on this episode or any episode of Sonatotum, matt@mattselznick.com, or simply use the comment form in the show notes for any of these 100 episodes. Obviously, I would love it if you would subscribe. If you're not already subscribed, subscribe for free to Sonatotum wherever you get your podcasts. And wherever you get your podcasts, please take a moment to rate and review the show. Ratings and reviews, 5-star rating is always great. A little review written in your own words about what you think of the show, wonderful. Ratings and reviews help raise the visibility of the show in the various directories on the various podcast applications and platforms, which means that more people who would dig a show like this get to see that show when they're searching for shows like this. I really got to figure out a more concise way to say that. Please comment, please subscribe, and if you have the means and the opportunity, please become a member of the Multiversalist community. In 2 weeks, AJ Super will be the guest. Another great conversation with another creative writer. 100 episodes, 6 years and a day. I am proud of what I've accomplished for myself, with this podcast, for my clients. I'm proud of the work I've brought into the world. I just need to do more. My name is Matthew Wayne Selznick. I want you to take care.